Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to It's All Kicking Off, another Football Roundtable Discussion podcast with myself, Adam Wilborn, Simon Gallagher and Adam Cleary from What Culture Football, here to discuss, well, everything that's gone on in the Champions League and is yet to happen as well. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Football for daily football podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts from. Right, gents. Last night, we saw Liverpool and Chelsea both lose in the Champions League. Tonight, it is the turn of Tottenham and Man City. Before we look ahead to tonight's games, what did you make of the two English sides' losses last night?
Gazprom's back. Like, high banter European football has returned on day one, which I'm absolutely delighted about, because all three of us support clubs that will likely never play in the Champions League ever again so long as we live. So all we can ever hope to do is enjoy the comical misfortunes of those around us. And also anybody who's like, oh, I just want the British clubs to do well. Grow up.
No, yeah.
Grow up, you soft tart.
What did you make of... Well, before we get on to Liverpool, what did you make of the whole furore around Chelsea's penalty? Because it seems to be getting a bigger and bigger issue, penalties for English sides, whether that be in the Premier League or the Champions League. And do you think, as was seen to be suggested on commentary, that all the players come around going, I'll take it, put Ross Barkley off?
Well, you could say that, but also he's a professional footballer who shouldn't have that sort of... I hate those conversations about pressure for penalties. Like, a penalty is a pressured situation. You should be able to do it or not. If you can't do it, then you shouldn't be taking the penalties in the first place.
I used to do training for penalties where, in order... This is probably the psychological thing to recreate the actual stress of a penalty. What we would do is you'd have to spin on the spot for 10 seconds.
Dizzy penalties.
Stay on the spot for 10 seconds. Then you get to dunk your head in the thing. I think a cold water is a penalty spot. Dunk your head in that. You're allowed sort of like 3 or 4 seconds to collect yourself. Then you've got to hit it. And apparently, psychologically, like for the blood and the adrenaline and like what your mind does, that's what it's meant to do. And I have to say... Buried every single one of them, so I don't know what his problem was.
Is this when he played for Guantanamo Bay FC?
You're not far off. Remember that roundabout where Raul Moat shot the copper in the face?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it was for the football team that played just next to that roundabout. It's really good. What were we talking about? Penalties, yeah. Ross Barkley, the thing is, right, it's not a terrible penalty. It just skims the bar on the way over.
Yeah, I saw some comments on the YouTube video saying, oh, Ross Barkley's penalty's just landed in my back garden.
No, it didn't.
But it clipped the bar.
Yeah, so it wasn't that low. Like, it's another one of these. I think... There's a lot of in my day-ism going on with punditry at the minute. Graeme Souness is the absolute worst human being on the planet for it. Like, oh, we knew who the penalty was. Bloody millennials. Their rap music and their haircuts and their shoes. And just another one, like, oh, they all wanted to take the penalty. Well, probably because it was not a rotated side, but there was a few names put in there who hadn't played for a while, certainly hadn't been starting. We got to see the Sarri ball substitution of Kovacic for Barkley brought back after all this time. It was just, I don't know, like... People talk, and again, this is another Souness thing. They talk about you want leaders on the pitch, right? It's all well and good taking these teams out with instructions and tactics and them knowing what to do when they get out there, but you need leaders on the pitch who in certain situations will be like, no, tell you what, I know we're supposed to be doing this, but we're under pressure too much. We're going to hit it long, or we're going to slow it down, or we're going to sit off 5 yards. You need people who are going to make these decisions on the pitch. And when we're seeing people make these decisions on the pitch and they're going wrong, all of a sudden the decision-making process is the bad thing, not the actual decision itself. And so... Just another big fuss over nothing. You missed a penalty. Like, so what? A draw in that result in that game would have still been a bad result for them. You know what I mean? It's just...
Here's a question. Do you think, because one of the biggest culprits of that last night, I thought, was Willian, who basically stood next to him the entire time going, you sure you want to take this? You sure you want to take this? If that was you and I, if I'd missed it afterwards, would you come up and say, told you shouldn't have taken it?
Yes, that's me.
That's not the right answer.
But that wouldn't have worked in real life, because if I was stood there with the ball and you're like, sure you want to take this? I would literally, the first time, I'd say, piss off, you put us off. Just get off, will you? That like it doesn't work like that. It does maybe suggest there's like a lack of cohesion, or there's a lack of, there's not an alpha in that Chelsea group. Mm. It's like, look, well, he's got the ball, he must be taking it. So I don't know. Yeah, maybe Frank Lampard.
Will Ayan is who I would have picked to take it, probably.
Why?
I just, every time I see him hit the ball, it goes where he means it to.
Well, part
I know
of
that's
shot.
A very simple thing to say, but I really like him as a player.
Tough.
I think the idea of saying Ross Barkley wasn't up to it because he's not, like, he's young and he's a leader is a little bit silly.
Mm.
Because he was Everton's talisman for ages. Yeah. He had so much pressure focused on him that it shouldn't have been an issue.
Tough group for Chelsea. Ajax and Lille in there.
Yes, no. I mean, it's the kind of group where if they all play at the level that if they're at the standard that their reputation suggests they should be at, then they're going to really struggle. But then again, when they got drawn with Chelsea, they would have probably thought the same thing. And Valencia have walked out with 3 points in that first game. Ajax, we don't really know about because they did struggle a bit in qualification to get there, but they looked really good last night. They started the season fine. It's one of those. It's the beauty of the Champions League. It's quite an even group in terms of all the sides in there. We'll all fancy they can get points from somewhere. It's probably one of the more fascinating groups, I think. We shall see.
2-0 loss for Liverpool at Napoli. Ewan Paterson, the Liverpool fan in our office, not best pleased with the penalty being given. Seemed pretty straightforward for me.
It was definitely a penalty.
I mean, all I'll say is I've heard the sentence entitled to go down, or, you know, used in many conversations about Liverpool and penalties over the last 12 months, and I think it applies here, albeit the other way around. I think by far and away the more interesting part of that match is the fact that Sadio Mane and Mo Salah hate each other, probably.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, there's a lot of speculation about, well, if they hadn't had scored the first goal, would they have scored the second goal? Terrible defensive mistake for them in that second goal.
My auntie had wheels, should be a bike. Like, it just doesn't matter.
But yeah, that I mean, if they score that 2-on-1 chance, they take the game away from Napoli, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, they're not inexperienced players. They've scored breakaway goals loads and loads and loads. It's one of the easiest things to do in football. If you get a 2-on-1, you try and create as much distance between you as you both possibly can. As soon as you commit the defender one way, you roll the ball in for the other player. It's really easy. Now, neither Mo Salah did not want to run wide because he wanted the ball, and Mane didn't want to run wide because he wanted to take the chance on himself. So you had the pair of them running in a direct straight line. So the defender was sort of like in the middle of it a bit, and there was never a clear chance open. And even when they got to the edge of the box and simply just, well, you can roll him in and you can hit it first time now, Mane was like, didn't want to do it. He wanted the defender to go over to Salah. Like, you can see he really wanted the chance, and he hesitated and he hesitated and he hesitated. And he finally did give it to him. He massively overhit it. Like, said to you, right, here's a situation, right? It's a break from the halfway line. It's Mo Salah and Sadio Mane versus one backpedaling defender. How many times out of 100 would you bank on them to at least get a shot away? Never mind score a goal.
I'd say 100.
Almost 100.
Even if it was one of them versus one defender, you'd still take the odds of it being.
It's just, I know this is the thing, right? That whole Mane, like, decking the bench when he sat down against, I think it was Burnley the other day. That got probably way more made of it than it should have been. He clearly wasn't happy, but apparently it was all calmed down afterwards. Everyone was making jokes about
handbags.
It was handbags, yeah. But situation, shoes on the other foot now, and he did not want to give that ball to him. Like, he could have very easily put him in. And there's obviously, like, Mane's not a selfish player. Like, they showed that graph, which pretty much dismissed the whole issue with it in the first place, how many times they've laid each other on. And they create so many chances for each other. Like, Firmino, Mane and Salah all make loads of chances for each other. They've clearly got no problem with laying the other people on. But yet, he didn't do it. He didn't want to do it. It's just, I don't want to like overly scrutinise what is one moment in a game of football, but you can clearly see Mane's mind working during that chance, and it's, I don't want to give this ball up. I want this goal.
Judging by the responses from a lot of Liverpool fans, it's a loss away at Napoli. If they win the rest of their games, certainly they'll probably beat, well, in theory, they should beat the other two teams, Red Bull Salzburg and Genk in their group. And then if they win their home game against Napoli,
not if they defend like that, they won't.
Yeah, they should be fine. But I don't really talk about their chances in this group. I want to talk more about the fact that surely they should just sacrifice the Champions League this season, because judging by what's gone
on
in the Premier League
they
should focus on the Premier League, shouldn't they?
Yeah. No, they shouldn't, because they're Liverpool FC and they've got a squad size and a budget and an infrastructure in place to compete in multiple competitions. You don't have to pick one. They should be challenging for the Premier League and the Champions League and domestically as well. Like, there's no, like, oh, they should probably sacrifice it. Mate, look, if you get to the latter stages, you get to a quarterfinal or a semi-final, you're at the bare bones with the squad and people have got niggles. Yeah, all right, then you start making decisions about, do we sacrifice this? Do we give somebody a week off? Do we let them get a breather? Do we not risk them for this match? Because ultimately, like, Norwich at the weekend's more important because we want those 3 points. That's when that conversation...
Good team, Norwich.
Yeah. That's when that conversation comes into the equation. Not, like, not in September when you've got a... I mean, I know they've had a few injury niggles, but that was almost a full-strength side they put out last night. I'm sure they would have rather had Alisson in. Milner coming in the centre midfield is probably not exactly who they would have gone for. But, you know, they're the front three out. They had their first-choice back four out. It's like they should be able to compete for that. There's no conversation about sacrifices yet.
It's true. It's like Frank Lampard says so astutely, the Champions League is a game of two halves.
It is.
Group stage and knockout stages.
Yeah.
Let's talk about tonight's game then, because Tottenham, I should say, are away at Olympiacos and Man City are away at Shakhtar Donetsk. This is surely the most obvious year to see Man City win the Champions League, considering how the results have got. I know it's only the first game week.
Not anymore. I think that injury to Laporte really does hamstring them. We've always said you've got to be able to defend in the Champions League. Spurs are like such an outlier in this that they literally just scored their way at the final. But it's so often you have to be able to defend well. You have to be able to go away from home and know that you're not going to concede stupid goals, because then it, you know, can be no matter what you do in the home leg, it's already beyond you. I think City look really, really shaky at the back at the minute, or they certainly did against Norwich. They'll have to fix that. They probably can fix that. They've probably got the players and the coaching staff to fix that. And
when's Laporte back? Start next year?
Well, he missed this season.
All season.
By the looks of it. Majority, certainly what I read. It's just, I know the Lampard thing about being a game of two halves, they can get themselves to the knockout stages, then who knows? But, I mean, they're not in any danger of not qualifying for this group, in my opinion. They'll score their way out of it. But once you get the really tough games,
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to win, personally. They're my choice.
Still?
Yeah, I mean, there was just some... That Norwich game has to be a blip. The way Norwich played, most teams aren't going to play like that against them in the Champions League anyway. Which is, like, it's a strange thing to say because it's Norwich and it's not a Champions League team. But they're not going to get pressed more successfully than they press other teams in the Champions League. I just can't see it happening. I think you're right in saying that you have to defend. And the teams that do surprisingly well will be the ones that have got managers who drill them really well. Like, if Rafa went into Real Madrid, he'd probably win the Champions League with them this season. Whereas if Zinedine Zidane stays there, they'll get nowhere near. But teams like Napoli, Inter Milan, they're going to have stronger foundations than Man City will. But I still think Tottenham proved that you can score your way at the final. Man City will probably do that as well.
I wouldn't say Tottenham proved you can do it. They did do it, but like we're talking so many, like Raheem Sterling's shin is offside. They get through that game. There's literally the last kick of the game against Ajax, it slightly spins off somebody's foot and goes in the bottom corner with a goalie can't reach it. I wouldn't say they like categorically proved that you can get there by doing that.
I mean, in terms of the balance of their team, their defence wasn't great.
Tired of ads interfering with your favourite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
let's talk about if it's not Man City then. There's the obvious ones. Liverpool, defending champions, of course. Barcelona, Juventus, they're always, Real Madrid, they're always in that conversation. But who are some more sort of dark horses for this year's competition?
I mean, Inter Milan.
I had a second one also.
I mean, Alfinger Haaland's son is smashing them in for Red Bull Salzburg.
I just want to talk about him. He does not look like he should be as mobile as he is.
I thought you were going to say he does not look like Alfinger Haaland's son. It's none of our business that at all. He looks like Roy Keane. Yeah, it's a bit weird.
So you said Inter Milan.
Yes, we both did. We both think Inter Milan.
Why? Why do you think they could be dark
horses? This is the thing. They've just spent a lot of money, and I think it sounds lazy, but they've thrown money at this idea of being a European heavyweight again, and I think they know they're not going to do too much. I don't think they see themselves as being able to overhaul Juventus and Serie A this year. So making a big statement on the European stage is going to be a priority for them. And as we say, when these decisions have to be made later in the season about, well, do we sacrifice this, do we sacrifice that, I can see them throwing the league in the bin if they think they're going to be comfortably getting into the Champions League spots for next year and having a real run at it.
And not to rely on cliches too much, but Inter Milan do strike me as a team. In that group they've got, Slavia Prague, Borussia Dortmund, Barcelona, they strike me as a team that if that was, not to belittle any teams, if that was Slavia Prague, Valencia and Benfica, I think they'd struggle more because it strikes me that when you play Borussia Dortmund and Barcelona, you raise your game naturally for that.
Put it this way, right? I think the reason there are a lot of people's dark horses are because if they get out of the group stage, they will have proved that they are to be taken seriously. And they will also have binned out a good side on the way. Like, if they don't get out of the group stage, well, we can start talking about actual dark horses in the knockout stages and, you know, not bother bringing up their name. But, like, they're going to have to do something very quickly to get out of that group. And if they do, then, well, we know they're the real deal.
Who's your pick then if it's not? Well, it is Inter Milan, but after that.
It's funny to call anybody in the Champions League a dark horse when it comes to winners, really.
Dark horses, Man United.
Yeah, I'm going to say Juventus, and it seems just wrong to call them dark horses.
I think it's fine to call a side a dark horse if they haven't won it recently. Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm glad we just all stopped having this PSG conversation.
I know, yeah. Somebody picked them in something I read in a preview, and it was just like, I just don't see it.
When will people learn? Like, they've got PSG, to be fair, if anybody could prove the Spurs thing, if you can't score your way at the final, maybe it is PSG, because they can rattle goals in against really, really good sides. It's just, they also tend to let in three and four against the big sides when they give them a bit of a head start.
I can see PSG playing Spurs in the final and then both bottling it.
Yeah. So this is the thing. Somehow PSG wins. Spurs in the final would be dreadful. Somehow it would. Two teams that can't defend but score loads of goals.
It can't be worse than last year, though. If Mbappe is the top scorer in the competition, PSG will win the competition. That's as simple as that is, I think. I also think that had somebody else, and I've forgotten who it was. Dortmund, I think, might do pretty well. It depends on them getting through the groups.
I'm going to go Red Bull Salzburg.
Interesting. Why?
Just because I've read that article about Alfinger Haaland's son and how he wants to score loads and then win the Champions League with Leeds as well. So I just really entertain me.
I will say, on the Dortmund issue, they've probably got the most dangerous out-and-out centre-forward in the competition this year. Like, looking through the stats, I always get his name wrong. I always want to call him Alka-Seltzer. But like, if you read through his stats, like his goals to game ratio, the minutes between goals, the size he's scoring against, the type of chances he's converting, like,
he's fizzing them in.
He is.
It's almost like that was set up.
Oh
beforehand.
My god! I don't know how I've stomached that joke, but anyway. they have got out and out the best, probably the most dangerous out and out centre forward in the competition this year. So who knows what you can do with that?
They've got Sancho as well, who the Champions League is often decided by these. Like, after every competition, you get, like, he stood out. Like, De Ligt last year is one. Like, you say, on his shoulders, they got as far as they did.
Mm. Pretty much the entire spine of that Ajax side really stood out, which is why they haven't got any of them anymore.
Here's a question for you. Will Ronaldo, I know you said Juventus may well win it, but do you think Ronaldo or Messi will ever win the Champions League again?
Yeah.
Yes,
well, they play for Barcelona and Juventus. They're probably amongst the favourites.
Everybody
Who wrote this question?
Everybody seems to want Barcelona to be in a bigger crisis than they actually seem to be looking at them. Messi's still going to score loads of goals despite when he's 45 years old, he's going to score 45 goals in the league. It's just, He's an anomaly.
Who's got more of a chance
this year? I should
Messi,
ask.
Ronaldo.
This is the comment section.
People like to make this big fuss about what's going on at Barcelona. I think the problems are considerably more behind the scenes than they're ever going to be on the pitch. Like, yes. This is La Liga we're talking about. No matter how bad things get for Barcelona and Real Madrid, they're always the top two or the top three clubs in the entire country.
If they come fourth, it's a disaster.
If they come fourth, it's an absolute catastrophe. Like, they'll be in the competition every single year. And when you get other teams out on the pitch, there's what, two, maybe three teams who you'd think could beat them over two legs? That's if they draw them at any point. You never, like, they are always going to be amongst the favourites for this competition. Like, the fact that Madrid went so long without getting to a final or winning it, it was an absolute freak show. It became an identity crisis they were having. Like, the Decima thing became this huge cultural thing for the club because they couldn't believe, no matter how, like, who they were buying or who they were playing, they just weren't doing it. And now, you know, they went 1-3 in a row off the back of that.
Let's give you an easier question. Who's the greatest of all time, Messi or Ronaldo? No, Tottenham and City, as I said, both away, but both against beatable opposition. Any chance they stumble tonight?
I genuinely think it's going to be a game week where none of the English sides win. They could all indeed lose. I think they'll struggle.
I think there'll be a draw, but
Absolute last thing Manchester City are going to want after that Norwich game is having a long round trip against a really difficult to break down side who will probably smell a bit of blood, might be full of confidence. Don't get me wrong, they have easily got the tools to go and win that game regardless, but it's not. They would have liked a nice home tie, just something to kind of like forget about it, whereas this is going to be tough. And if you've got the doubts creeping in, you're a little bit unsure at the back, it could be a very, very difficult night for them. Smash cut to them winning 5-0.
Yeah, Shakhtar are like, in the third round of the FA Cup, there are teams that you want to avoid every single time. Yeah. You're supposed to beat them on paper, but Shakhtar are that team for...
Absolutely.
Yeah, you don't want an away game against a side who are, like, even if they're in the division below, against a side that are full of confidence. You know, you don't want an away game against one of the top sides in the Championship or one of the surprise packages in the Premier League. You know, you want to just get a nice home game, rest a few players. Like, City can't rest anybody in that game, for my money. Maybe... I wouldn't let speculate, but just they need to go out and they need to win that game because if you're as good as Man City and you win as many games as Man City, two defeats in a row is a crisis. And then what do you do?
Shakhtar's,
change things?
Shakhtar's manager probably has the easiest team talk of everybody in that whole group.
I will say as well, one dangerous thing for Man City, especially with the injuries, is that I think people really, the way Norwich approached that game was so, like, you could so clearly see what they were doing and you could so clearly see how effective it was. Like, City like to press you as soon as they lose the ball, but they've got this system whereby if they don't win it back in sort of 30 seconds, they tactically foul you. Yeah. Or they try and, like, put it out for a throw and they try and, like, restrict the game. And Norwich were just like, right, well, we'll not let you anywhere near the ball in that case. We'll not try and, like, work out of areas. We will play into space all the time. And City had no idea what... They physically couldn't get close enough to foul them in these situations. And I think... It's very easy to say the sides are going to replicate that. Obviously, Norwich are a really good passing side. They were well-drilled. They've got great chemistry between their players. Yeah. Not everybody can do that, but everybody can try.
Any chance Spurs struggle at Olympiacos?
In
theory, no.
They shouldn't.
But it's another tricky away tie against a side who, like, you know, at home, do always fancy themselves.
Finally, let's talk about... Well, there's some great games today,
It's a bloody Gazprom, man. It's always great games.
Atletico, Juve, as we mentioned, as well as City and Tottenham away, Olympiacos and Shakhtar Donetsk. But arguably the biggest game, PSG versus Real Madrid. Who have you got for this one?
I think PSG because they're at home.
I think Real Madrid because they're playing PSG.
Yeah,
is it one of those games? That on paper, PSG should
romantics. Win. Sorry, it's sort of reverse romantics because it's the PSG thing where you expect them just to be PSG all over the place. But the most PSG thing, and as a Newcastle fans, we should know this because it's the same sort of thing, would be to beat Real Madrid and then crash out by not winning another game.
Yeah,
so they'll be like, "This is our year. Kylian Mbappe is going to do it."
It should be a quite interesting game because both sides will fancy that they are the favourites in that regard. PSG say are at home.
Yeah.
They probably smell a little bit of blood with things, the way things are going with Real Madrid at the minute. Zidane is doing God knows what Zidane's doing. They will probably think they can go and win. They'll be like, well, we should. You know, it's a first group game. It's Madrid at home. We win that. That's like our second toughest game out of the way and we're top of the group. It's a hell of a scalp. And it... You'd say if PSG win that, they should qualify at a canter. Because by the time they play Real Madrid again, they could already be out of the group and it won't matter. It's a huge game for them. But likewise, Real Madrid will be thinking the exact same thing. Like, we've got, you know, if we can get this win in early, then we don't have to worry about the rest of the games too much. We can maybe try and, like, focus on the league. So you think both sides will absolutely be going for it. Smash cut to a 0-0.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let us know your thoughts and predictions in the comment section below. And don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. And subscribe to What Culture Football on either iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from for daily football podcasts. You can also tweet Twitter questions to us at WhatCultureFC. Watch there. Follow all three of us. You can follow Simon Gallagher at...
at Cy Gallagher.
You can follow Adam Cleary at...
Adam Cleary, C-L-E-R-Y.
You can follow me at Adam Wilborn. You can follow us all, as I said, at WhatCultureFC. Enjoy the Champions League tonight. My thanks to Simon and to Adam. Thank you for watching, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of ACAST Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.